And welcome back to Believe, the White Mountain talk show destined to empower you to believe you can do anything you set your mind to if you just believe. This year, I've been talking a lot about faith. And we know that the Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And today I have with me the Reverend Canon Elizabeth Geitz, who's an Episcopal priest, and she's written many books, but today we're going to be talking about one in particular, I Am That Child, Changing Hearts and Changing the World. Welcome.
Thank you, Barbara. I'm delighted to be on your show. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm so excited. I have been to every website looking at the orphanage in Africa and thinking, this is just so incredible. You know, we all can do something to make a difference, but it always takes one person being the person to start it. Tell us a little bit about how this all came about and why you put it in a book.
Well, the one person who started all of this is Sister Jane Monca, a Cameroonian nun whom I met when she was in the United States. Sister Jane was walking along the streets of her country, and one child after another was raising their arms to her, literally begging to have their life saved. And she said, there's something I have got to do for these children. And with a dream in her heart, a vision in her head, and $25 in her pocket, she came to America and learned how to be a nun for the sole purpose of establishing her orphanage. So I decided to visit her, and the book was something that just grew out of that. It was almost like I couldn't not write it.
When I got your book, I read it from cover to cover, and it still brings tears to my eyes, knowing that we all can make a difference. In our last segment of the Believe Show today, I was talking about a town hall that I went to where people talked about civic engagement and talking about how people need to volunteer today, because I am a baby boomer and we grew up doing those things. We just knew it was part of us. And now we're having to teach the young people that they need to volunteer. And when I read this book, I thought, wow, everybody needs to read this because it really helps you exercise that faith muscle.
It does. And young people in particular are ones who have the time to even spend like a gap year or an entire summer in a developing nation. And they can go and do likewise as Jesus told us to do so often in the Gospel of Luke. And so can all of us, even sitting in our living rooms. In the back of my book, I have 14 different ways for people to become involved, to respond to whatever part of the book speaks to their heart. There are many, many ways to volunteer to truly have an impact on the life of another person.
And, you know, a lot of times people will say, gee whiz, I want to just take care of things at home. We can't take care of the whole world. But the lady that I spoke with earlier, Elkie Doerr, who is with the Web of Life Foundation, she talks about us all being connected. And I don't see how anybody can think that we're not connected. And none of us want anybody to be hungry, nor do we want anyone to go without love. We want people to thrive regardless of where they are.
Yes, we do. And the reality of this is that when they hurt, we hurt also, even if we're not really consciously aware of that. And anything that we can do to reach out and relieve the suffering of another person comes back to us tenfold, Barbara.
It really does. And of course, we all know that we don't do it for that reason. We do it because it makes us feel good and it's the right thing to do.
Right, right. Absolutely.
When I looked in the back of the book where you talk about how we can all join the cause by getting out and doing something, you list so many different things. And I think a lot of times people don't even think about these things that are available that other people have blazed the trail for us to participate in today.
Yes. In addition to the website for the home itself, which is goodshepherdhome.org, it has many opportunities on it. There are the good, tried-and-true organizations like UNICEF, Heifer International, the Peace Corps, that have programs geared towards specific countries. So you can go on their website and see what they're doing in not just all of Africa, but in a particular African country like Cameroon, which this book is about, that might be of interest to you. And then actually see which projects you're interested in becoming involved in.
When I read about you, knowing that you grew up in the South, and I did as well, in case you can't tell.
Yes, I think we both sound like that, don't we?
I think that's absolutely true. So often people think that people that grow up in the South have an issue with people of color, and it is so far from the truth. People do not have any idea how things really are. And for you to go over to Africa had to be leaping light years ahead to connect with Jane and Monka. I looked at her name and I looked it up to see how to pronounce it, and I thought it has to have some major difference because it's over in Cameroon. But here she is, Monka. She's a nun. She came with such a little bit of money, and how could anybody have any kind of race issue knowing that someone like this with such a heart, with only $25 in her pocket, how could they not reach out and try to help her? And I know that people did, because your book said so.
Absolutely they did. And Barbara, you're right to bring up people of southern part of the United States. Actually, I worked in inner city Trenton, New Jersey for 5.5 years before I went to seminary with people of color, women on welfare, were people that I taught. And without exception, every person I met who was working there was from the South. And I think it's because those of us who grew up in the southern part of the United States or the Southwest or even the West, we grew up with people of color. We went to school together. We know one another, and we're very comfortable. And we see the injustice. We grew up with it. And I think that within some of us is ingrained the reality that, you know, we need to do something different than was done certainly back in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. Sister Jane, I will tell you, she exudes love and faith and the power of believing more than any person I have ever met. And she's like a magnet. You're just drawn to her.
And you got to go to the orphanage. So tell us what you saw.
Well, when we rounded the bend, we flew into Douala, Cameroon, which is on the coast, and it was an 8-hour drive to get to the orphanage, even though it was only 200 miles away. The roads are not quite like they are in the United States. So when we got there, the children were racing after the van and jumping up and down and singing to us. They were all dressed up. We disembarked, and they hugged us and put their heads on our stomachs, and tears were streaming down our faces. I have never received a welcome like that in my entire life. What I saw, Barbara, was one big family. These children call Sister Jane Mama. And in the book, there were 50 children there when I went in 2008. Today, there are 130. And they do not think of themselves as orphans anymore. They think of themselves as having 130 brothers and sisters and a mama that they love named Sister Jane.
You know, that is so sweet, because often you would think that when outsiders or strangers come in that the children would be afraid.
No, they were not afraid at all. And in fact, I went to see in part a child that my family and I had sponsored for several years, and he was all ready with something he'd written to read out loud. You know, they were prepared for this, I guess. And no, they weren't afraid. Interestingly, though, I do tell a story in the book about as we're going there, we pick up one of the workers who's helping Sister Jane with a palm farm that she has, And he was very afraid of us. And I tried to make conversation with him, and Sister Jane said, oh, he won't talk to you. And I said, well, why not? She said, he's never seen anybody like you. And I said, what do you mean, white? And she goes, white. And I realized that we were the only Caucasian people in sight, because tourists do not normally come to the part of Cameroon where we were. So we were kind of scary to this little boy. But the children in the home did not respond to us that way.
It's always nice to sponsor someone and know that you do get to meet them and see that it really is real. Because I think that so many people have been out there today, charlatans and so forth, that people doubt. So when you get to hear from someone who has written a book and who's really been there and seen it and can testify to the difference that it makes, then we all are all ears.
Yes, and that's why I think a lot of people do not sponsor children, because they get these requests in the mail and they're not sure where the money is going. In my book, I Am That Child, I talk about the fact that 100% of the donated funds go directly to the children, because they go to a convent here in the United States. They absorb all of the administrative costs, and all the money is wired directly to Sister Jane. There is also one of the nuns in the convent, and these are Episcopal nuns. A lot of people don't know that we have them, but we do. And she goes to Cameroon for 2 months every year. So we have somebody on the ground visiting in physical contact once a year for 2 months.
That's fantastic. And I think you're right. I think a lot of people hold back for that reason. But when you do things like you do, like having workshops and raising money for the children in the home, I think that that gives it a whole different flavor.
It does. It really does. And, you know, what I wanted to do in the book was really bring readers along on the journey with me. So they learn things as I learn them. And they are as fearful as I am, I hope, before I leave, not knowing what I'm going to face. And then in the book are the stories of seven of the children told in their own words. And these are the stories of their lives, the stories of how their parents died, what happened to them after they died, and what their lives are like now. And Barbara, if you said you got tears in your eyes, I'm guessing it would have been in one of those chapters. Or the story of Sister Jane's life. She has the most amazing background, a very difficult background, and she overcame many hardships to do what she has done.
Absolutely. And actually, it was just about through the whole book. I can hardly talk about it now without revisiting those tears, because you had pictures in the book. I think that we all really appreciate the pictures, because when you read the words, it's one thing. We all have our own perceptions. But when you can put a face with Jane and with yourself and with some of the children, that makes all the difference. To see what the area looks like, it really makes you feel like you're a part of it.
Thank you for that. And I was delighted that my publisher was willing to put so many pictures in the book. When you see the children's faces, when you see Sister Jane, when you see the beautiful terrain, Cameroon is a wonderfully beautiful country, almost in parts looking like a Caribbean postcard. It's very mountainous and beautiful. And, you know, seeing the pictures of the children as they are there in the mountains and farming to help raise money for themselves, what has really occurred since the book has come out is that they are moving even more towards self-sufficiency, although they're not there yet. Sister Jane now operates the largest chicken farm in Bamenda, Cameroon. And we've got pictures of her vaccinating 10,000 day-old chicks, just one at a time, vaccinating them. And then they grow up, and the children process them, shall we say, and they sell them. And it provides meat for the children and also additional income for the home.
That is so great. And it makes you smile to know that somebody is doing something that they've never done before, but that they don't give up. They just keep finding new ways to make a difference.
They do. Sister Jane originally, she is the original little engine that could or can do person. Originally, she was going to raise cows, and she found it was too expensive, so she said, okay, I'll raise rabbits. They won't be so expensive. Well, then dogs ate the rabbits. Then she said, okay, I'm going to raise pigs. So she raised pigs. When I was there in the book, there's a chapter called Pregnant Pigs in Politics when she had bought 9 pregnant pigs. Well, then, of course, we had the advent of swine flu. And now the chickens are working, and that's been going for a good year and a half now. So she's somebody that no matter what setback she faces, and I think this is something that we can all learn from her, that she truly turns every crisis into an opportunity until she finds the right answer.
I love that. That's I couldn't help but fall in love with her and also fall in love with you for your dedication, for you being such an activist, because often we don't think of an Episcopal priest as being an activist, but you have worked with the people that have the real needs, that have hope. You have helped give them hope. And in Africa, we hear about all of the kids that have been born with the HIV and what an issue it is. And here, gathering them all together, and some of them need extreme care.
Actually, the children, Sister Jane has 2 homes now. The primary Good Shepherd home that I visited that had 50 children now has 100. These children do not have AIDS themselves. They are called AIDS orphans because their parents died of AIDS. It's tremendously taboo still in Africa to be a child whose parents died of AIDS, so I did use pseudonyms in the book for them. But they don't actually have it themselves. Now, she started a second home in a nearby community called Badibo. There are 30 children there now who have either epilepsy or AIDS themselves, and they require a great deal of supervision, medication, and medical attention. So, but she pays for all of the medical bills for all of the children, the school fees. School is not free there, school uniforms, food, shelter, and lots of love.
You know, it's amazing. And I had, as I shared with you earlier, I had looked up for further information on the internet, and I read about that second home, and I thought how amazing that was, because you're right, there is such a stigma. You definitely had to protect the innocent, if you will. And I think that for anyone to be able to open a second home, especially where so much care is required, it shows that she is definitely on the right path.
She is. And when we were there, she had just received a grant from another nun, actually, to purchase this building that was really not in great shape. And she didn't have any money whatsoever to open it or fund it or do anything, and she said, God will provide. And God did provide. And she's now got 30 children there and all their epileptic medicine and everything they need. And the epileptic children are really, it is so sad to see them, because many Cameroonians, most of them cook on open fires, and these children will have a seizure and fall into the fire. And it's just heartbreaking. I did not put their pictures in the book. It is heartbreaking to see their disfigurement as a result of this. So they went out and literally found children that were abandoned in the bush to die because nobody could take care of them. And she just said, I've got to do it. And God did provide.
You know, it's once again a testimony about faith, and I know that I do believe that what we think really comes about. And if you really believe with all your heart, it will happen. You know that it is going to come to you. She didn't have a doubt, and it really did happen. And I think that makes us all feel good. We all want to believe. We all want to have great faith. And so it takes books like the one that you put out, this particular book, I Am That Child. That makes all the difference, because when we see someone else's faith muscle exercised and the rewards that follow, then it helps our own faith grow.
Oh, it does. It does. When I was invited to preach for them on Sunday morning, I stood up and I said, I feel so inadequate to preach to all of you because you have more faith than any group of people I have ever been around. You have something to teach Americans about faith and a life of abundance in the midst of material poverty, although I didn't put it in those words, you know, with them. There's a part in Galatians where Paul talks about the fruits of the Spirit, and one of them is joy, and that is the fruit that I saw just in great abundance. The children and the adults have a kind of inner joy and gratitude and thankfulness that you really do not see as much in the United States as I did there.
We can be taught by so many people that have so much less than we do. And I know that a lot of churches have missionaries. I know a lot of churches have study groups. And, of course, your book can be a great adjunct to really understanding the missions abroad. But I love that you listed some things that we could do. And one of the things besides the study group was like host a gathering in your home to spread the word. I think that many people need that connection with people. We like to do things. We like to talk about reading a book, and we like to hear the feedback. But also something that a lot of people don't think about is like a bicycle or a motorcycle ride or a walk. You could sponsor one of those to try to get more sponsors or to get money for the orphanage over there, because they need so many things, and just a little bit of money really goes a long way because they stretch it.
Oh, they do, Barbara. And if people want to go on the website of goodshepherdhome.org, they will see that it only costs $30 a month to sponsor one of the children. And you will be able to write to the child once a year when Sister Mary Lynn goes there, and she will bring a letter back for you and make sure that you get it with pictures and updates on how your child is doing. So it really is not much. It's a lot. $30 can be a lot for some people, but it can be, you know, it's a dollar a day. And if we make the decision to do it, we can really make a significant difference in someone's life. And the children pray for their sponsors every single night. That was very moving to see them doing that and to hear them doing that and to hear their little voices rising into the night air in praise and thanksgiving to God and to their sponsors. Getting back to the first thing you said, there is a study guide in the back. It's also a reading group guide. And if you all who are listening are part of a book club or a book group, it's geared to that, and there are lots of questions to get the discussion going. If you're in a book group that likes to eat, like my own does, on my website, which is elizabethgeitz.com, and that's GEITZ.com, I have a whole lot of recipes from Cameroon. So you can actually make Sister Jane's sweet potato pie and chicken peanut stew and different Cameroonian dishes to really host a very special evening in your home.
I love that, because we all like to try new things. And your book does make you feel like you have made the journey. Many of us will never get to go to West Africa. We'll only get to hear about it or read about it. So it's nice that we can take the journey with you, and kind of like a virtual tour, if you will.
Yes, Absolutely, and that's what I want to have happen. I want people to feel that they are riding in the car with me. I want them to feel that they are sitting at the dinner table listening to the storyteller of all storytellers, Sister Jane. And one of the stories she told us, and I don't believe this is a spoiler, is some people have tried to poison her. I mean, she has had the most amazing life because she has sided with the marginalized, the rejected ones is what these AIDS orphans are called, because their parents died of AIDS. And because she has firmly been in solidarity with them, people have marginalized her and actually tried to poison her. So it's people tell me that when they start the book, they have trouble putting it down because it just, you know, they're caught up in the journey. They're caught up in the trip. They're right there.
Exactly, and that's exactly what happened with me. And you and I were going to do this earlier, and I had so many different things coming on. But do you know, things always come at the time that they're supposed to. They really do. And people can listen now because people are open to different things going on in the world. We know that there are challenging times ahead of us. I really do believe that. And we have to share. We have to do good. We have to care about other people. It is what we are here to do. We get to learn from people that are less fortunate, and we get to experience gratitude for what we actually have. And little do you know how much you have until you read a book like this.
You're right. I mean, when I landed at home, back at the airport and got on the road, I've never been thankful for smooth roads. Never occurred to me. I was so thankful for smooth roads and the fact that it didn't take me 8 hours to go 200 miles. I was so thankful that I have meat, you know, every day if I want it. The children only get meat once a week. Their protein otherwise is from beans and rice and things like that. So you cannot help but look at your own life and the many blessings that you've received, regardless of what's going on in your life, when you do something like that.
Well, I am very impressed that you have shared this with all of us, and that you also have made it into a study guide. You've made it into a virtual tour for those of us that could not travel to West Africa. You've given us so much information, so much hope, so much faith. It's just all good. And of course, your background being a priest, and I did not know before that Episcopalians had nuns. I had no earthly idea. I thought it was only Catholics.
Well, that's what most people think. But Sister Jane is an Anglican nun, and the nuns here are Episcopal. Yes, we do. We've got convents and everything else.
Well, we do learn, and I love that we get to find out about different religions, and we get to see what they're doing. And many people applauded your book. I was surprised at all of the people around the world that have endorsed this particular book, and I think that that says a lot about what you put in here and about what you lived when you were over there.
Well, thank you, Barbara. I was very pleased, and I've been just stunned that the book has been number one in African studies on Amazon.com for several different weeks. And so it seems to be catching on, and I am really very pleased with the reviews that I'm getting and the comments from other authors. Several New York Times best-selling authors, for example, have endorsed the book, as you'll see on the back, or if you know go on my website. So I really urge your readers to take a look at I Am That Child, and you may find, like I did, that you are that child too.
Absolutely. And I thank you so much for writing it. I thank you for taking time to share with us so that people could find out about this book. And of course, again, they can go to Amazon.com and find this book. Can they find it anywhere else?
Yes, it's on Amazon. It's on Barnes & Noble. It is on my publisher's site, Cokesbury.com, and it's also discounted there, Cokesbury. And anyone can just go to my webpage and click on, I've got every link. Indie bookstores are also linked. They're very important. We've got to support our local merchants. So if you go to elizabethgeitz.com, G-E-I-T-Z, I've got links to every different place the book can be purchased.
You know, that's fantastic, and I appreciate that so much. And it also can be downloaded to your Kindle.
Absolutely, in your Nook.
In your Nook, that's right. I have a new Kindle Fire, so I think that it's the only thing there is. So thank you for reminding me of that.
Yes, I'm delighted that it's on there, and I've downloaded it myself just so I can read it sometimes in a different format.
Bless your heart. Well, thank you for what all you have done and for exposing us to information, again, that most of us would never be able to get firsthand. So God bless you, Elizabeth Geitz.
Barbara, God bless you, and I love this show called Believe. I want to just applaud you for what you're doing, and thank you so much for having me as a guest.
Thank you so much. I am blessed by all the wonderful guests like you.
Wonderful.
Thank you. I'll look for your next book.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. And we're going to take a